last year was extraordinary. So I traveled literally 300 times, 1.6 million people. And by December, I was on the verge of a breakdown. So it wasn't pleasant. So, and this is where I learned even through over the last few months that Jesus doesn't need us. He doesn't need our work. He wants our hearts.
Hey, welcome to the Influencing Society podcast, a podcast that's going to develop your leadership. It's going to sharpen your faith and help you influence your world for good and for God. My name is Chris Ensby. I'm the host today, and we have a great conversation with Father Rob Gallier, a Catholic priest who ministers down in Melbourne. He's got 56,000 followers on social media. He ministers all around the world, and we have a great conversation around all things faith, secularism, his testimony, and amazing conversion story as well. So, Father Rob, welcome to the podcast. Great to connect with you over the internet. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Great. Yeah, yes. Doing really well. Now, last few days in Melbourne, it's all kind of gone down into lockdown mode again, round two of COVID. So before we get into your background and all about you, can you tell us about some of the impact of that disruption on yourself and what you're doing?
Well, look, I'm a very positive person. I believe in a God who takes every situation and uses it for our good. So I'm not going to complain ever. I think this is a difficult time. We're struggling. Everyone is struggling. But I've also seen open doors, incredible open doors over the last few months. But now we're in stage four lockdown. This I have never experienced before. It's just like literally we have a curfew. It's illegal to leave the house after 8 p.m.
Yeah, well.
So it's crazy times. But again, thank God for technology. Thank God for the amazing opportunities we have ahead of us, in front of us, even though we're in isolation. Just imagine this happened like 100 years ago.
Yeah.
It would be so much harder. So I'm grateful.
Chaos.
Exactly. Yeah.
So let's get to know you a little bit. Now, you're obviously Father Rob. That means you are a Catholic priest.
That's right.
But you're a musician and author. Tell us a bit about yourself. How do you define yourself?
Well, I would say in one word that I'm an evangelist. I'm someone who loves Jesus and wants people to experience the same love. My background, I had a massive conversion as a teenager, but what I do is I go around speaking mostly to young people. So I get to speak to live in last year I was on a plane 300 times. And I got to speak to 1.6 million people live. And now all of a sudden I'm here in front of a computer screen and talking. But I'm enjoying this because I'm an introvert. And the fact that I get to do this, I get to influence, but do that in the silence, in the stillness of isolation. So this is what I do. I'm a musician, I'm an author. I write music, record music, and I'm a preacher. Like, I go around teaching, especially young people. Also, resources.
And I saw from a music perspective, you're on the Blessing video that went around Australia earlier this year. That was fantastic.
Yes.
And I'll get into it because I haven't seen many people with a Catholic background kind of intermingling with different denominations. So I'm really interested in how this next generation of faith is coming through in that way as well. But 300 plane trips in a year.
That is a bit crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy. How do you deal with that?
Well, I didn't. Last year was extraordinary. So I traveled literally 300 times, 1.6 million people. And by December, I was on the verge of a breakdown. Mm. So it wasn't pleasant. So, and this is where I learned even through over the last few months that Jesus doesn't need us. He doesn't need our work. He wants our hearts. And that's what happened I didn't plan to talk about this, but when even with serving Jesus, we can isolate ourselves so much and isolate ourselves as well from communion with Jesus, you know, relationship with Jesus. We think that serving him is enough. And that's what happened to me in December, where I reached the end of myself. And so these last few months have been a moment of grace for me as well.
So how did, if you said like you came to the end of yourself, how did you rediscover? You obviously didn't stop serving, obviously, during this time. You've continued to do so. And I think that's a big thing for many people in the church where they get to their point, they get to the end of the rope, end of themselves, and instead of keeping forward in their service and relationship with God, they seem to pull back completely. So what did you do that you kept moving forward with God and reestablished that relationship, your first love with Him, and also continue to serve?
Yeah. Well, I have a heart to serve. I love to serve Jesus because I have experienced this love of God. But the thing is, I was serving stale bread. You see, it's not that because it was stale bread on my side, because I stopped praying. I didn't have time to pray. And I thought, I'll pray on the stage. I'll pray when I'm praying over people. I'll pray when I'm on the stage worshiping. But somehow there was something missing. I was tired. I was spiritually exhausted, but still had the desire to serve Jesus. Yeah. I still had the desire to tell people about Jesus, but it was draining me. It's like, you see, Jesus tells us that the scripture says that I will fill you to overflowing. I will lead you to rivers overflowing. And somehow we come to this place where we stop overflowing because we stop spending time with Jesus, but we're conditioned to give. As Christians, we're conditioned to give. So we continue to give. But the thing is, now we're giving of the water that is of inside our jar, of the vessel. And eventually, what happened to me was I had no water left. Sure, and so empty. I started breaking pieces of myself to give. Because again, I'm conditioned to give. Well. And that's where breakdown happens. And so Jesus, again, called me back to Himself. And so these last few months have been just such a beautiful time of overflow, of receiving the love of Jesus. And now I want to give again, but not of me, of the love of Jesus. And this is what people... Yeah.
So what sort of boundaries do you put in place around your world now, knowing that, you know, things could open up again and all the requests come in, you could be requested 300 times. Do you put things up in your life so you don't get to that point again?
Well, I think it's about not being so prideful to think that the church, even the church, needs you. You see, this is the thing. There are many opportunities, but not every open door is where you should step into. And so I think it's about discerning and being real with yourself and setting boundaries before. For example, now I know I'm not going to travel 300 trips. I'm going to travel 80 trips, and that's plenty, you know, and I'm going to be careful, more strategic with how I do it. Also, making sure that I have more days off so that I could spend time with the Lord, you know, have time, discipline myself with prayer, waking up in the morning, making sure I'm praying when I'm at the gym or whatever, making sure that I'm focusing on my training, not trying to get buff so that I look good on stage. But so you see, because this is what happens. Our motives when we serve the Lord and we get into the service, they get messed up. We start to do things for a performance sake because we found a formula that works, and we're just rolling on that formula, you know, and that's where the stale bread comes.
Yeah, tell me about the gym. When I first saw you on social media, as we see, you see a lot of people on there, but I think it was rare to see someone, a very well-rounded person, someone who does music and writes and preaches, but then you also did gym, so I figured I had to have you on the podcast, Tim, because of that fact. So tell us about your gym routine. Are you an everyday kind of workout guy? What does it do for you physically and mentally?
Well, look, with my lifestyle, I need to have some kind of physical... sort of exertion. And so I find the gym is really helpful for me, especially with the travel, you know, but that's it's a discipline as well. Sometimes I'm jet lagged, you know, I fly 300 times, but it's usually internationally. So I'm in America 5 times a year. I'm in India 2 times a year, the Philippines, you know, I travel all around the world. And one of the things I do is I take my gym shoes. They're usually on top of my suitcase. And as soon as I land, I go to the gym.
Sure.
I try to train some way or some form every single day, because the thing is, it's getting my blood flowing. Now, I've suffered my whole life from depression and anxiety. And so the gym for me is just a way to calm down, to focus.
Yep.
And again, it's about reaching the end of yourself and recognizing that sort of we're not infinite, sort of we're finite. I love the gym being a place of just, and it's a place of worship for me as well. I'm crazy at the gym. I worship God. I pray out in tongues. And sometimes people are looking at me like, what's this guy's problem?
So, well, let's go on that. So you pray in tongues. And so this, in the old kind of narrative around people of the Catholic religion is that it was traditional. Are you a spirit-filled Catholic? Is that what has arisen in the last kind of few decades? Because from someone with a Protestant, a Pentecostal, a non-denominational background, in some people's mindsets, a Catholic is just someone who just does the rosary, just does the old traditional hymns in service. What does it look like to be a Catholic nowadays?
Well, look, that's the way I was brought up. We were always spirit-filled in a sense. Yep. The Catholic Church, often that is seen and perceived, is often the superficial part. It's like people are filming and seeing the people in the back pews who have been going for years and years and years. Sure. But at the core of the church, of the Catholic Church, it is spirit-filled. We do, yes, pray in tongues. We do use the gift of prophecy. We do read the scriptures. We do intercede. We do spiritual warfare. We do all of this. This is where we live. And I was brought up in the Catholic charismatic renewal.
Right.
So we emphasize the gifts. But it doesn't mean that the gifts are not there, the gifts of prayer for healing. You know, all our sacraments are based on miracles, you know. Every one of them is believing for a miracle.
Right.
Whether we're anointing the sick, we're praying for physical healing. Whether we have the Eucharist, it's the Christ becoming present, which is a miracle, which is incredible. Yeah. God's grace. You see, so we are a miracle-believing church. But sometimes we get tired.
Sure.
I suppose like every church, you know, and it's just so much easier to stay away from the extraordinary and just to get comfortable in the ordinary, yeah?
Right. It's easy just to go back to tradition instead of believing and expecting for greater.
Yeah. It's much more comfortable.
Sure. Yeah.
It is.
And you seem like someone that does keep challenging that status quo, especially in the next gen of believers. And so do you feel like that's something you are called to? You're obviously very influential on social media. When we started this interview, you had, I think it was maybe 56,000 followers on there, maybe 57 if you've posted another gym selfie by now. but is that an area that you feel called to the younger generation of Catholics and keep lifting the expectations of that people group?
Well, look, I'll tell you this. I am not making an effort to get people to think how cool, how relevant Jesus is, or I am for that matter.
Right.
Okay. So I think for me, social media is about expression of the whole person.
Right.
So
love that.
How can they reach to the extraordinary? How can they reach to the divine if the people who are called to point to him are hard to reach?
Sure.
Can you imagine how much harder it is to reach to God if it's already hard to reach to the people who point to God?
Sure. It's a great thought.
So, yeah, so for me, social media is about, hey, I'm human, I'm messed up, I'm broken, I'm full of myself just like you are. You know what I mean? I take gym selfies, I go swimming, I go, I don't know, I play music. But also, I want you to see the effort I'm making to look after my spirit.
Yeah, well.
And the temple which is given to me, which is my body. And I want you to see the effort that I'm making also to make this world more of a heavenly place. You know, let heaven be in the Our Father, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Yeah.
You know, this is what we do, but we do it through the ordinary.
Yeah, I love that. And so is there things that you've seen people do, Christians do on social media that you think that is the wrong approach to that? Like there's things you steer clear of and things that you would recommend Christians do on social media?
So look, I think one of the important things is to avoid narcissism, okay? Because there's a difference between being real, okay? Being real and showing your real life. If I'm going to the gym, yeah, every now and then I'll show you that I'm going to the gym.
Sure.
But it's not about being narcissistic. It's not about being glorifying yourself and using God as an excuse.
Yeah, well,
or doing, you know, like I can do whatever I want and then just bring God into it. That's rubbish. You know, at the end of the day, we are there to point to heaven, to give people a taste of the ordinary in this world. But what about the extraordinary? I'm not living for this world. I'm not living for the gym. I'm not living for even the travel experiences, but I'm living this. How is this drawing me closer to Jesus? And I think this is the way we should point social media.
Yeah.
In the ordinary, how does this relate to my relationship with Jesus?
Yeah,
and keep bringing that back.
I love that thought as well. And so from a Catholic Church perspective, how do you view, say, churches such as ours, or non-denominational or charismatic? I know back when I was growing up, it was very distinct between church denominations. Have you seen a change in that area? Because obviously we don't practice some of the sacraments in the same way you guys do. And so do you see different ways as being wrong or right? Or do you see the church being very distinct still? Or is there a bit of a unification that's coming through amongst denominations in your perspective?
Well, I think the first thing to understand is when you approach something like this, even working for unity, it's not about looking for the distinctions. Now, there are things that are distinct,
sure,
and that's fine. That's fine. The way you even live your life in Brisbane or whatever is distinct to the way I live my life in Melbourne,
yep,
and that's fine. But at the end of the day, I think one of the things we're missing out is the fact that we love Jesus,
yep,
and we need to point to Jesus and to how to live for Jesus, and we're living for heaven. At the same time, when I see, like, I go to Hillsong Conference every year,
yep,
I go to Planet Shakers, I haven't been to City Point.
Soon, as soon as you can travel
hopefully
again. Yeah.
Yeah. But you see, I feel so energized, so full of life. I love the way that when you walk into a church, a Pentecostal church, you're welcomed and they notice when you're missing. I love that they live this life to the full. But as a Catholic, I believe this is so important, but I think there's also something, the ordinary, the sustainability that I think the Catholic Church, I find that the Catholic Church encourages me in, is in the ordinary, in the brokenness, in the sadness and suffering. You know, I believe, like, in the Catholic Church, we have answers to things like, where is God in the suffering? And it's not,
yeah,
just a theological answer. It's the way we live out our sacraments, because it's all about the cross. It's all about suffering. But also at the same time, having the sort of, sometimes, like, if I ask Jesus for forgiveness, I feel that I'm forgiven, or maybe I feel I'm not forgiven. While if I use the sacraments, like the sacraments of reconciliation, of confession, I love that I don't need to feel anything. I just need to go with a sort of a repentant heart, a contrite heart.
Yeah.
And know that Jesus is going to forgive me.
Based off what you were saying, I really do agree that each church brings its own flavor to it, but we do hold core to the core message that, you know, all of us believe, that is Jesus Christ is the savior of the world. And if we can hold tightly to that and maybe loosely to these other expressions that every church brings, I think I will see a much more unified future as well. And I really like, and
yes,
I respect about the Catholic Church, the habits and the disciplines that you do put in place through the sacraments and things like that, because even James K.A. Smith, Augustine, they all have these things about how habits order our loves. And I really,
yes,
see that as a strength of the Catholic Church, bring those habits and disciplines in place that really does change people's lives in the long run. So I think that's an amazing point from that as well.
Yes, and one thing that I love, for example, about the Pentecostal Protestant churches as well is that living, taking nothing for granted, you know, taking and looking out for people and loving Jesus and chasing after Jesus. Sometimes as Catholics, we tend to be, again, lazy when I will chase after Jesus, but not until I get uncomfortable. Once I start to lose my breath, I'll stop. But
sure,
but I go to sort of other churches and they're just, it does, relentless with chasing after Jesus. And this is something I hope and I pray that even in my ministry, people are learning to do.
Yeah, I think it's a secret to the next stage of our to religion or our faith in the next world, is that desperation and passion that you are talking about, a move away from programs and the focus on services and just a desperation of our hearts to chase after God. I think that's really what's going to carry us through. But in Melbourne, like, Melbourne's a very progressive city. In fact, I think it's Australia's probably the most progressive in terms of culture, individual morality, in terms of being further along in the post-Christian secular worldview. So how do you, as a minister in Melbourne, navigate helping a progressive worldview still find traditional Jesus, so to speak? How do you make it relevant? How do you make it so core? Because by nature, you said you are an evangelist. So how do you navigate that tension?
Well, it depends what people are looking for, okay? First, I always start with this approach that I'm not out to change the world. I'm not out to change a city, okay? I'm out to be like Jesus, to proclaim Jesus with the resources that I have. And that is my health right. also, which is other resources, human resources. But I'm, at the end of the day, it's about reaching one soul at a time. I look at Jesus, you know, and he didn't convert the whole world. He had 12 people around him, failed with one, Judas, you know, and then had to, it was them that influenced yeah. others. So this is my focus, one soul at a time. Now, I'm not out to entertain people. I'm not out to try and sell Jesus to people. And sometimes it's a very hard sell. But it is about building your disciples, building your people, and letting them go out into the world and influencing the world there, and then bringing them back. Okay, there are in the progressiveness in all of this, people are still looking for stillness. You know, they're still looking for prayer. Sure. They're still looking for a consistent relationship with God. And yes, we use music. Yes, we use audio visual. Yes, we go out. We hit the radio stations, social media. But at the end of the day, that might bring people in, but it's not going to keep people in relationship with Jesus. Sure.
Yeah, I agree. And we've seen a move away from that attractional church, as might have been 10, 15 years ago, where you could put that on and people would flock to it. And we've moved away to that more autonomous, more individual, more self-feeding faith, which I think is really important as well. What would be one mindset that you see in Christians today and believers today that seems godly, but it kind of isn't? We see these, the secularism of the world sometimes creep into the church. Is there a mindset that you see in the people that you minister to that seems godly, parades itself as godly, but actually is something that we need to be aware of?
Well, look, I think it could be many. There are many things that come in and sort of take the impression of God that looks like God. But I think one of the things I'd like to point out here is the dependence that so many of us have on emotion when it comes to relationship with Jesus. Okay, dependence on feeling and also dependence on being entertained. Like, I will follow Jesus. I will be part of the community only in as much as I feel respected in the community. I feel loved in the community. I feel like I belong to the community. When we live in a world, an individualistic world, that always wants to be loud, always wants to be appreciated and respected, but it's about us serving. It's emotions are great. Sure. You know, feelings are great. They're great guides, but they're terrible masters.
Yeah.
If we're going to sort of, as a church, think that it is, and I'm talking about even the Catholic Church. You know, like, we feel when we walk into a church a sense of peace. We feel like we want to pray. We feel, and people are appreciating that now, how much we've taken that for granted. Sure. You know, the fact that we can have a church open and go to pray, you know, these things. So this is, I think, the sin of the generation, is that they feel like they need to get something out of the church in order to belong to it. When it's not about that, it's about me. How can I be generous with God through the church, through belonging to the church?
Such a great thought. And I guess that's part of the consumeristic mindset that we all do face a bit. Like, what's in it for me? Or I will only be a part of this until it suits my needs. So that's a huge mindset, because it's very countercultural, I think, today as well. But like you touched on, I think the answer to that is in servitude. That's how Jesus did it. I did not come to be served, but to serve and give my life as a ransom for many. So I think if we can capture that heart of that servant again, I think you're really onto something there as well. It's a great thought.
Yes, it's about being generous with God. You know, this is also personal prayer. You know, I come from a background where I was an addict, you know, like, and I converted and I came to the Lord and I came to experience the Lord. And I used to pray for 2-3 hours every day. It was just amazing. Now, to put in 15 minutes, it's torture. It's torture. Sure. It's not that God is not there, but I it's not about my feeling anymore. It's about my generosity towards God. It's about sitting with God, even though I don't feel like it, even though sometimes I go through doubt, even though it would be so much easier for me to sort of, I don't know, update, do some charity work. But sure, we need to be generous with God.
Do you think your gratitude stems from, because you've alluded to a few times, your conversion, and maybe I'll ask a bit about that, like what is your history on that? Do you think your gratitude and your generosity towards God has stems from that? Can you give us a bit of a background on that conversion?
Well, look, my background is that I came from Malta, from a small island in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea. And it's a Catholic country, 98% Catholic. But anyway, by the time I was 14, I ran away from home, ended up an addict. 16, I was suicidal. I was messed up. And there was this gang literally looking for me to kill me. And I ended up in a really, really bad place. And so I wanted to take my own life, you know. And I locked myself in my room for 8 weeks, and my mom would be outside on her knees praying for me, every day praying for me. And eventually I needed to get out. I had to make a decision. I was either going to end it all or I was going to make an effort and go out. And it was that week, divinely, God incidentally, I don't know, someone, an old friend of mine called and invited me to a youth group. And there I found this sense of community. I found this these preachers, Catholic preachers, who were talking about Jesus, relationship with Jesus. And I eventually just gave that my all. That's where my focus was. That's where my attention was. And I fell in love with Jesus. And I just started to think, not how amazing this is, but how can I share this with the world? How can I tell people about this? I can't keep this to myself.
Yeah.
And so I went back to school and I used to talk to people about Jesus and they thought I was crazy. They just thought I was crazy. But eventually I learned how to evangelize. I learned how to help people receive Jesus without, it becomes an art as well of how you package as well the gospel in order for people to receive it without compromising it though.
Yeah, it's amazing. Amazing to have a mum that prays as well.
Absolutely.
My parents were as well. It does so much in your life as well. So the power of prayer is so incredible. But such an incredible story.
Yes.
All the way from Malta.
Yes.
That amazing conversion now to in Melbourne and influencing millions of people every year. That's such a God-breathed story on your life, and it's really great to hear about it today as well. One last question before I let you go, Rob. What do you think God's doing in the global church right now? If you could take a bird's eye view, if we've narrowed in on some of the perspectives of individual church, if you were looking from 30,000 feet, what do you think God's doing in the global church at the moment?
Well, I think the obvious thing I would see straight away is that God is purifying this church and saying, hey, what's most important to you? And it's about getting rid of the lukewarm things in our life and turning back to Jesus. I think when we come out of this pandemic, when we come out of this and the world and the economy returns, I think there'll be more of a separation of the goat and the sheep. There'll be people who feel, okay, I've survived this far without my faith, without my church, therefore I don't need that and I can be at peace with that. And then there are those that think, look, actually, I'm going to be generous with God from now on and I'm going to love Jesus more. And so this will be a time of purification, even for the churches itself, in looking after its sheep. Can I tell you something? Those pastors that are not looking after their sheep now, during time of isolation, during time of pandemic, will come back to empty churches because people need to have been. It's the same with the gym. You know, during the first wave, my gym did nothing to reach out to us. And I just kept sending emails, no information, nothing. And I was ready to leave that gym. I was ready, like, what's the point? They did nothing. But now the second wave, they're really reaching out. And I start to think, oh, actually, I'm looking forward to going back. It's about us also finding what is most important. But it will be tough. When we go back, it will be tough because the church is not going to be the same again. It's not. It's going to be.
No, that's right. It's a bit of a disruption to everything that we've been doing. Thanks so much for your time today. Really appreciated getting to know you. Just the way you live your life is very inspiring, just not so much as a minister, even as just a Christian. You want to know Jesus more, love him more as well. So I really appreciate your time for that as well. And we'll be praying for you guys all down there in Melbourne as well. And we'll be, if people want to hear more about you and what you do, FRG Ministries, is that the best place to send them? We'll put that link in the footnotes as well.
Yes, FRG Ministry, FRGMinistry.com, or else they can go to my social media at Father Rob Gallia, FRROBGALEA.
Yeah, and your social media is great to follow. There's so much like song covers and some great things on there as well. I'm enjoying listening to how you perceive faith, learning more about the sacraments from your perspective as well. So it's really great and educational just following you on that as well. Praise Thanks God. So much for your time today, and pray God keeps using you more in 2020 and 2021 as well.
Amen.
Amen. We'll see you soon, and we'll no doubt have you back on the podcast in the future.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
No worries. Hey, for all our listeners or watchers at home, we hope you've really enjoyed the podcast. Hope there's something, maybe it was his passion, maybe it was his insight that inspires you to love Jesus a little more, to lead a little bit better, and to go out into your world and influence it for good and for God. Have a great week. We'll see you next time on Influencing Society.